Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of January 29th to February 4th. This week is hopefully going to be a much lighter week than the week previous, where we were talking about like 11 transits and it just seemed to go on and on forever. And yeah, so, you know, there is a lot happening this week, but it's really kind of focused because, you know, we're looking at, I mean, there's, I'm combining transits now because we've got a couple that are, that can be combined, the way that they're aligning together, several planets that are aligning together, mainly Mars and Mercury. But
can I sort of fill in the audience a little bit about the conversation we just had?
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who have been with Scott for a while now on the podcast and then have seen him through the transition from Ingrid to me, will know that the podcast used to be more linear in the sense that it was day by day. And kind of isolating each of the days and looking at the energy and what was going on. Mm-hmm. So the days of the week were isolated and also the transits were isolated. And what we've done is we've changed up the format a little bit and taken away the isolation in terms of like day to day and are trying to talk about things more holistically. But we are also challenging ourselves as maybe a next layer to talk about transits together that are related to one another. So we're still maybe a bit more linear than we'd like to be. So part of what, that's just a goal to maybe share with you all as we continue to move forward in the podcast to sort of challenge us to maybe think of things more holistically rather than the pieces and parts individually. And maybe it's a little bit of both. We'll kind of go back and forth between here's one part and here's sort of the whole picture.
Yes.
So I think it's a growing edge for us and
constantly evolving.
Yeah. Because last week feeling like, okay, there are 11 things happening feels like a lot of sort of pieces and parts. So we're working on sort of how do we present the information in a way that doesn't feel overwhelming, but also speaks to really the depth and breadth of what is actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I get that accurately?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. For sure. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I mean, this is kind of the perfect week to transition into that sort of flow because. Mm-hmm. You know, I broke it down to 7 transits, but I've really condensed it to 4. But, you know, of those 7 transits, Mercury is a part of 4 of those transits.
Hmm.
So it's really kind of focused in this mercurial area of communication, consciousness.
Yeah, so it's fitting that we're kind of diving into, we're peeling back maybe another layer of how we communicate on this podcast. And how, Scott, you're able to communicate sort of in your inner world about how you want to talk about these transits.
Yes. And in terms of these transits, you know, like Mercury is a part of 4 of them, but Capricorn is also a part of 4 of these transits. So that's another sort of major coloring of the energy for the week. So everything, like the week begins where it ended last week.
Mm-hmm.
And these first planets that we're talking about, we were talking about the end of last week. So we're kind of continuing the conversation from last week. That's where we're beginning, because starting last Monday, January 22nd, to this Monday, January 29th, are these alignments with Mars, Mercury, Uranus, and the North Node. So Mars and Mercury, Mars is the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict. Mercury is the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination. Both of these are transiting through the cardinal earth sign, symbolized by the goat, Capricorn. And together, they're forming a square, which is a stressful aspect to the north node, the soul's purpose, in the cardinal fire sign, symbolized by the ram and ruled by Mars, Aries, while at the same time forming a trine, which is a supportive aspect to Uranus, the primordial sky god, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected, in the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull, Taurus. So you bring this together from last week to this week. Where we're beginning this week on Monday is having the courage to speak from that place of authority, put your words into action, face your fears and insecurities in doing so, and moving forward from a place of independence that is grounded in your self-worth and values.
How do you think we can do that, like on a practical level?
Well, I think it's, you think about your goals. Like, what do you want to accomplish? What are you working towards? These aspects, these planetary aspects, are about facing adversity. Are you ready to face adversity? What do you do in the face of adversity? I talked last week about climbing to the top of Half Dome and with a bunch of college buddies. One of my friends quit after 2 miles. It's a 20-mile round-trip hike. I can still see him on the path. He's like, I'm turning back. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, there's no way. The only thing I did to get in shape for this was I stopped smoking 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay, you know, bye. And then continued up. And as you go up this, you're hiking 4,000 feet from the valley floor to the top of Half Dome. And when, before you even get to the base of the dome, there's this granite staircase. And by the time you get to the granite staircase, you're exhausted. Especially if you really haven't trained. And I wasn't training. I'm just, you know, in decent shape because I'm a college kid. Got more energy. But another one of my friends was like, this is it for me. Can't go any further than this. I'm like, are you kidding? It's just these steps and then the rock. We're almost there. He's like, nope, no way.
That was the second friend who didn't make it to the top?
That was the second friend, yes. The first time I climbed Half Dome was with my dad. And my dad, after the granite staircase, was like, he's like, my legs feel like jello. Like, I don't know, you know, and the time he was probably in his late 40s. Yeah. Late 40s, I think he was probably. He's probably my age now. And he powered through the rest of the way, you know, and there's this amazing sort of view when you get to the top, like the dome curves around like this. And there's like this platform over here that you can stand on. It's just rocks, you know, it's not like a man-made platform. You stand there and there's somebody, you can be on this side that takes a picture of you and it looks like you're standing just like on a cliff, which you are, you know. And I asked my dad if he wanted to take a picture there. He's like, no, because knowing my luck now, like my legs will cramp up and a stiff breeze will blow me over the edge. Oh. So, but the point is, I'm so glad I pushed through. And I'm so glad that my dad pushed through with me to make it to the top of that rock. And the same with all my other college buddies that did that with me. I don't, you know, disparage or think less of the ones that didn't make it. That's the path that they're on, is to not make it to the top. And that's their path. It's not my path. So at this time of the year, if you are feeling stretched thin or overwhelmed by the amount of work that you have to do, and it's like so much, and you don't feel like you can go on, then stop. Rest. And wait for the energy to shift for you.
Well, I think it's interesting to consider, okay, so astrologically right now, we are being invited to keep pushing and keep fighting up the mountain. Yes. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true. I would say that you could even take it a step further and say that it's more than an invitation. Because when you think of Capricorn, what's the planetary ruler of Capricorn?
Saturn.
Yeah.
Saturn doesn't really invite you there.
Exactly.
It tells you what to do.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just thinking about just how I think this, our Western culture is so Saturnian in nature, where we're kind of constantly being bombarded with the message of do more, be more, faster, better, stronger. You know, in my experiences in corporate America, in the fashion industry, it's all that Saturn and Capricorn energy of constantly having to evolve or move up, or, you know, from a financial perspective, like that every year has to be more financially lucrative than the last. And when you have those sorts of expectations, I mean, that's not possible, like, to do that for the rest of your life.
And I think that's where you're missing the point.
No, but I think there is value in this perspective of push it, go, do it harder, faster, better, stronger. But I don't think we're meant to do that 12 months out of the year.
That's where I think you're missing the point.
24/7. I don't.
That's where I think you're missing the point.
What's the point? What am I missing?
How long are these planets in Capricorn?
Tell me, how long?
Is it for the whole year?
I'm not saying they're in Capricorn for the whole year.
My point is
I'm saying that we get stuck. Like, there is value.
I agree with you.
There is value in what you're saying.
Yes.
But we get stuck in this sort of a mindset, like, year round. And I think that becomes very toxic. I think maybe that's why I have a little bit of resistance to it, because I know there's value in what you're saying, and I do feel that energetic frequency this time of year, and that's maybe part of why I'm feeling challenged in a sense, but I don't want us to get stuck in that pattern, and I think collectively, in a sense, we are.
Okay, collectively, maybe, sure, in corporate America, but what I'm talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is right now, the focus is work. The focus is you're at that point on the mountain where you may feel exhausted. Push yourself harder, further. Not for the rest of the year, but for right now while planets are transiting through Capricorn. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be doing this 12 months out of the year. Now, maybe there's been like kind of this undertone frequency of that energy with Saturn transiting through Capricorn since 08-09. So there has been a planet in Capricorn 12 months out of the year. So you do have a point there. But in terms of the faster moving planets, you know, right now we've got Mercury, Mars, and Venus transiting through Capricorn. While those three planets are transiting through Capricorn, this is a time to work on your communication, to work on your goals and ambitions and what motivates you, and to work on your relationships. That's where the focus is. And if you feel exhausted in those areas, good. Because you're getting stronger.
I think it's interesting to consider how there's value in climbing up the mountain, thinking about your friends. I have a lot of compassion and empathy for your two friends who turned around. Because sometimes the wisdom is to keep climbing.
One of them was a Libra.
Hey. Sometimes the wisdom is to keep climbing, and sometimes the wisdom is to turn around.
Yes, and they made the right decisions for them, like I said.
It completely depends on what your goals are, and it depends on who you are.
Right.
So I just don't want this to come across like that we're trying to have there be like a one-size-fits-all way of being for people.
I hope that's not how I'm coming across.
And I don't think that's generally what you're ever saying to people. I'm just feeling like, I don't know, this time of year in particular, I guess, is bringing up something for me, this Capricorn.
It's a hard time for Libras.
Energy.
Yes.
And I will say, so remember my internship I did with Wolf Connection?
Yes.
I did an internship when I was in school, and it's this organization up in Palmdale. Scott's laughing at me because it involved hiking. So it's this incredible organization, Wolf Connection. They rehabilitate wolves and wolf dog hybrids who have been abused or neglected, or some of them who've ended up like in domestic situations and are just way too wild for that. So they've like destroyed people's homes, and it's a sanctuary for them. Mm-hmm. And they're the most majestic, beautiful creatures that live on this rural land. And it's a program that brings in kids from surrounding neighborhoods, like usually high school level kids. And they're there for a period of, it's like an eight week program. And you go on hikes with the kids and the wolves. And, you know, the volunteers are all training to be therapists. So, you know, there's like interpersonal stuff going on, and sometimes dynamics with the kids that need to be, you know, sorted out.
And what attracted you to this place, because it wasn't the hiking. Did you know that there was going to be hiking involved when you agreed to be a part of this? What did you think that was going to be?
So what drew me were the wolves. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to get some experience with high school level kids as well. And that is part of the requirement of being licensed. Licensed, mm-hmm, is that you have to work with different populations. But I was really drawn to the wolves and the hiking. I guess I didn't think it was going to be as intense as it was. But we had the group that I was a part of, we had maybe 20 in our group the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say about 15 or 16 of the kids never came back.
Wow. 20 and 15 out of 15 or 16 out of the 20 never came back.
Never came back.
So the rest of the time there was just four kids?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Maybe I never told you that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
What about that one girl who the wolf came up to and
some of them were like, would kind of come in and out of the program, but the goal is really that they want continuity. Mm-hmm. And I guess a lesson for me in that is like, I think we pushed them too hard the first time and it sort of scared them off.
Yeah.
And I think this Capricorn energy is about learning how to build and not try to go from A to Z. And I think that's what we did.
Well, you are trying to go from A to Z, but you can't forget about the rest of the alphabet.
Yeah. And so I think that was a big lesson for me in sort of pushing too hard. So I went into the program with the intention that it was going to be really hard for me, that it was going to be, you know, there was going to be this physical aspect, but the goal of, and that was definitely true, but the way that they sort of reconcile that is they acknowledge that the physical aspect is really mirroring the emotional part.
So what does that mean?
So what it means is that while you're climbing, while you're hiking, that you're working through emotional content.
Yes.
That there's like nonverbal healing.
Yes.
Occurring.
Yes.
So I'm laughing because I don't know why I'm laughing.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
The fact that you're making my point?
The point is, you can't rush the healing process.
Okay.
You can't, like, if I could have done those hikes on my own, at my own pace.
You'd still be hiking.
I'd still be hiking.
You'd still be on the mountain.
I think we have to honor our individual pace here. And part of, like, what's frustrating about, like, that corporate structure is that it's not your pace.
That's true.
So I think that part of the lesson here and the wisdom of this Capricorn energy is that it's really about you and your pace, because it's your accountability to get yourself to the top of the mountain. And no one else can tell you how long that's going to take. Like, when people come into therapy, some of them are there for only 3 months to work on something, and they're really able to shift it and get what they need. And other people are in therapy for several years, and it's a longer process for them, and they need to integrate it in a different way. And I think both of those paths are right for both of those people. And I think where things get dangerous is when we try to force people up the mountain when they're not ready. And I think that's some of what happened in this program, in the group in particular that I was a part of. Mm. And we talked about that afterwards as a group. Like, wow, we really lost a lot of people here. Like, what does that say about, you know, how hard the hikes are? And what we ended up deciding is
that kids are soft and lazy these days.
Hey. We ended up deciding is that we needed to actually pace it a little differently. So it started easier.
Mm-hmm.
So you could sort of build up, you know, their confidence. Mm-hmm. And there could be sort of a sense of morale and a sense of a team, because there really wasn't day one, of course. And slowly, you know, gradually increase how difficult the hikes were, so that there could be like a sense of building and accomplishment.
Sure. Totally. That makes sense.
Yeah.
At the same time, you also have to remember that Capricorn really isn't about making friends, and it isn't about, you know, the Saturn energy isn't about being easy. And I'm not saying that that's what you're saying. You're just saying that it should be structured in a way where you feel these little accomplishments that are going to help you get to that bigger accomplishment.
Well, yes. And my point is, what's easy for one person isn't easy for another person, and necessarily.
But the other point that I want to make here is that there's only so many people that can be on the top of the mountain. Can't have a million people at the top of the mountain. Only a few. So it's got to be hard. Because not everyone can be up there. So some people, it's got to be too hard for, and they're going to turn away. And, you know, maybe another way to look at it with those four people is those are the four that were meant to get that experience. And the others were meant to get their experience as well. Just like my friends had their experience, and the ones that made it to the top had their experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up, if you remember, hurting my back and having to miss some of the days.
Yeah. Yeah, because you pushed yourself too hard.
Because I pushed myself too hard.
Yeah.
And I knew I was pushing myself too hard. But as someone who was, you know, like one of the adults, I didn't have the agency. You know, I was one of the volunteers. I wasn't really one of the staff in the program, you know, to say, hey, this is too much. And it, you know, it wasn't just too much for me. It was clearly too much for
a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think in retrospect, if I could have maybe spoken up or somehow voiced that, could have been an interesting, you know, opportunity for me.
So when you think about these aspects between Mercury and Mars in Capricorn aligning with Uranus and the North Node, Uranus in Taurus, the North Node in Aries, it's bringing up those fears of being pushed too hard or not going to be able to make it, or fear of stopping because you're pushing yourself too hard. It's like, well, I don't want to not make it, so I'm going to put myself at risk. My back hurt it because I'm afraid to say this is too much and turn back. But also thinking about the alignment with Uranus and Taurus and recognizing, I think that's kind of what you're saying in terms of that's the individuality of your path. The individuality of your path, which is based on your values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also a difference between stopping the hike to turn around and stopping just to take a pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one thing to stop and take a rest versus needing to abandon it altogether.
Yes.
And not that there's a right or wrong choice, but there is sort of that middle ground.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I had been on that hike with you in Half Dome and I could see that I was almost to the top, I definitely would have stopped instead of turned around. I mean, that's so close. That would have been hard.
Yeah. But it's almost like, even if you rest for a little bit there, like, I don't know, maybe you would get like kind of a second wind, but it also seems so daunting that last bit, like you're climbing up the face of the rock. There's no steps. It's just like these metal cables. You have to have like gloves because you'll tear your skin with these metal cables. And you're literally walking up an angle like this, you know? So if you slip and fall, you will die. And people do die there. And so it's...
Why? This sounds horrible. It's like, why are people doing this?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not...
It's not like a trail.
Where you can go lie in the grass.
Yeah, no.
Relax.
No.
For a little bit. Okay.
Once you get to the top of the rock, then you can like rest for a little bit, you know? But then you have to go down. You're going down while people are coming up and you're trying not to knock them down and then pull you down and that sort of stuff. And
wow.
They started back when I did it, like anyone could just go up there. Now you have to get like a permit because they had too many people hiking up and down. And it was, and there's a sign also at the bottom of the Half Dome that says, "Lightning has struck Half Dome every month of the year," just to remind you of that weather can come in anytime. And
this is starting to sound more and more like the Hunger Games to me, like a voluntary Hunger Games situation.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're out there in the wild, it's a different experience. It's not Disneyland or the mall. Like there's like even on the way up, you go to these waterfalls that I talked about, Vernal Falls, Nevada Falls, and there's bars, like just metal bars, and like you can go under it or over it or whatever, but there's metal bars separating the trail from the actual waterfall at the top and the stream.
Because that can be dangerous too.
Well, there's a sign that says, if you cross over this barrier and you slip into the water, you will go over the falls and you will die.
And people still do it.
And they still do it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's another sort of Capricorn Saturnian lesson as well, that there are rules and structures that need to be adhered to for your safety. Mm-hmm. And if you're not adhering to those rules and structures, then you will suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I ask you, what are you climbing towards? What are you working to achieve? How are you spending your time? What are you spending your time on? What are your fears in these areas? And what are your values? And that's how we're starting the week.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so as we move to the next transit, which is Venus in Capricorn, Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, forming a supportive sextile with Saturn, the planetary ruler of Capricorn, but Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority, is transiting through Pisces, the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish. Venus is also forming a supportive trine with Jupiter, the god of thunder, Lord of Justice, the planet of luck and expansion in Taurus. So again, like a multi-planet alignment here. With Venus, Lady Luck, Jupiter, the planet of luck, Jupiter, the planet of expansion, and Saturn, the planet of restriction, all these planets are aligning with each other. Jupiter and Saturn in a sextile, Venus and Saturn in a sextile, and then Jupiter and Venus in a trine. These are all supportive aspects, and they're working to give you that sort of contraction, expansion sort of energy, where something's coming to life here.
And how is that sitting with the Mercury, Capricorn? Well, how would you say they're interacting?
Yeah, well, think about it in terms of you're climbing up the mountain. Like, I didn't do Half Dome on my own. I did it with friends because I needed that support, that energetic support, someone standing behind me, you know, in case I slipped or whatever, you know, they could help me. Not that that happened, but, you know, it's who are you climbing the mountain with? So when you think of Venus and then Mercury and Mars, it's relationships, communication, action. What's the status of your communication in your relationships? Who are you taking action with?
So it's about not doing it alone.
It's about not doing it alone. I mean, I guess you can do it alone, but Venus is about relationships. Venus is also about the senses. And the senses of what you like is going to attract other people to you that like what you like.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of Jupiter expanding in Taurus, Taurus is the sign that's ruled by Venus. So Taurus has to do with the senses. Jupiter is expanding that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing greater awareness to your likes and dislikes. Saturn is bringing that groundedness to your unconscious.
I think this Venus energy is probably challenging us or helping align whatever it is that we're climbing towards, helping to make sure that we enjoy it or that we love it. Like, I think of like Venus is the senses, but it's also just about what you love.
Yes.
Your likes and dislikes, as you say.
Yes.
So you want to be sure you're not climbing towards something that you don't love.
Exactly.
So there, you might be, I guess one way this might be showing up is that you're, I guess, one of two things. You're either climbing towards a goal and you have clarity that you want to keep going because it is aligned with your Venus energy. It is aligned with what you love. Or you might find the opposite to be true. And this transit could be helping you highlight, hey, I don't really love this path I'm on, and it's not really worth my time to keep climbing in this particular direction. So I need to shift focus.
Yes.
And both of those, I think going back to that image, you're on the mountain. Sometimes the lesson is to keep going, and sometimes it's to go a different direction. And there's value absolutely in both.
Yes.
So I think that's part of what that Venus energy is maybe bringing in is sort of, you know, this like maybe Venus is more of the invitation versus Saturn. You know, Venus is like inviting you, but is this beautiful to you? Do you enjoy this? Does it bring you a sense of peace?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think we really need that during this, you know, this time feels very authoritarian in a sense, like the new year, you know, what are you doing? What are your goals? New Year's resolutions, like, you know, and we need like the Venus energy. Venus is like you open the window on a warm day and like you feel the breeze, you know, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a moment of reprieve.
Yes. Well, I just think that this is a really nice alignment. There's so much synastry here.
I think so,
because, because, you know, Venus is the planetary ruler of Taurus. That's where Jupiter is. Jupiter is the planetary ruler of Pisces. That's where Saturn is. And Saturn is the planetary ruler of Capricorn. And that is where Venuses. You have all these planets that are in, that are aligning with other planets that are in signs that they rule, but they're in supportive signs. It's earth and water. Mm-hmm. The water's Pisces, the earth is Capricorn and Taurus. So something is being shaped and molded here. And it's really, that's why, you know, the question is what are you shaping and molding? Mm-hmm. In terms of your mind, in terms of your relationships, in terms of your future outlook, in terms of your self-worth and your values. What are you shaping? What are you molding?
Mm-hmm. And how is that connected to your work?
Yes.
So much of our... I remember once I had a coworker who said to me, she was kind of my cubby mate, so we were in the same cubicle. And she turned to me one day and she said, I spend more time with you than my husband.
Hmm.
And that's a relationship I chose to be in. And it really struck me.
Hmm.
And she and I got along, so she wasn't trying to, you know, dig at me or anything. But, you know, we spend so much of our lives working, you know, for those of us who are, you know, working in a traditional sense, mm-hmm. At a job. Of course, you know, being a homemaker is also a kind of work, certainly mm-hmm. as well. But there's so much, you know, when you calculate the hours of your life that you have spent working,
mm-hmm.
it has to be aligned in some way with love energy, or things are going to be really hard.
Yes. And I think that is why the Capricorn energy is hard, because if you don't love climbing to the top of the mountain, then it's not something you should be spending your time doing. That's mm-hmm. why I say those guys that turn around, good for them. You know, it's don't spend your time doing something that isn't worth your time.
I think we have a real wound to this concept, though, in our culture. And
what do you mean?
Maybe in a larger sense.
Mankind.
Just around. Yeah, I think we touched on this a little bit last week, but the sort of old paradigm that work has to be hard.
Mm, right.
You know, I hear you saying, like, yes, there are hard aspects to Capricorn, mm-hmm. and that sometimes we need to push through.
Yes.
It's like you need the sugar and you need the salt, mm-hmm. so that you appreciate each of them equally. So from that perspective, yes, I get it. But on a larger scale, I think our consciousness around work is really ready to evolve.
Yes. And I think that is part of these transits.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're at the final stage. I mean, nine days ago from this Monday was when Pluto moved into Aquarius. And so, you know, this is a time for completion in terms of Capricorn energy. This is the last year that Pluto is in Capricorn. So if we haven't figured out, or if you haven't figured out your role in this life as your own personal authority, then maybe you've missed the boat. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because I mean, there's always new opportunities as long as you're leaving, but as long as you're breathing. But
you're saying there's a finite amount of time to learn this lesson.
Yes.
In sort of the frequency we have it.
Yes.
Which I think is true.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean that everyone living during this time
is going to have
the sense of completion that you're describing.
Right. Exactly.
There might not be meant to.
Yes. And who's to say that maybe anyone has that sense of completion? It could be fleeting as well.
Sure.
That you feel like, oh, I figured it out. I love what I do. And then there's a time in your life where you don't again.
Well, I think about too how often people change their careers.
Yes.
During their lifetime, which I just did,
mm-hmm.
in my late 30s. So it's interesting, yeah, to think about that revisioning process around
yes.
work and how that does happen for most people.
Yes.
Because your values change,
mm-hmm.
and what you love might change
right.
as you evolve and grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
This aspect is most strong towards the end of the week and into next week. So that's when that's happening with Venus
okay.
and Jupiter and Saturn. So it's like the early part of the week is maybe a little rougher with the Mercury and Mars transits,
mm-hmm.
squaring the North Node, and then but also trine Uranus. And then as it moves later in the week, we've got this triple alignment that is supportive in helping you find what you love, spending your time on what you love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theme of this transit. And with whom you love. I also want to highlight, shortly after this Venus-Saturn-Jupiter transit begins, and during the midst of it, on Friday, February 2nd, in the afternoon, Pacific time, around 3:18 or so, is when the Sun in Aquarius is squaring the Moon in Scorpio. So there's a real tension building here. It's the half moon, and this is the waning half moon, because we had the full moon last week. So now the moon is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as it does, it reaches this tension point with the Sun. So the Sun, the planet of light, life, and vitality in the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer, Aquarius, squaring the moon, the planet of emotions, in the fixed water sign symbolized by the scorpion, Scorpio. So the tension is between the nature of your identity in wanting to be social and extroverted, independent, rebellious, logical, where the moon in Scorpio is urging you to go within. On an emotional level, to explore the depths of your passion, who you're bonding with, your karmic energy, intimacy. Aquarius is logic, Scorpio is passion. How do you find the middle ground there?
Would you say that is the lesson here, is finding the middle ground?
Perhaps.
Or is it about learning to do both?
Maybe. Yeah, sure. You know, it's all of those things.
Well, the Aquarius energy, I think of it as like being up in an airplane, where you're looking at, you're able to see the big picture, how all the pieces and parts fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Scorpio is you're down.
Underground,
you're completely merged and like enmeshed with your surroundings. So from that perspective, they're opposites.
In a sense, yeah.
Even though they're not astrological, astrological opposites.
Yeah, there's a real difference to this energy, even though there's a similarity in that they're both fixed. So they both have that sort of stubborn frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Aquarius wants to progress, to think beyond, to think differently, to kind of be out there a little bit, to be non-conforming.
Mm-hmm.
And Scorpio, in its own sense, is kind of non-conforming, but it's in a different way. There's a passion to Scorpio that doesn't exist in Aquarius, just as there is a logic in Aquarius that doesn't exist in Scorpio.
Would you say, I'm wondering if one of the different ways it's expressed is that Scorpio is expressed in an introverted sense and Aquarius is extroverted, so that what you're describing is that urge to be different is just less visible with the Scorpio energy because things are happening underneath the surface.
Yes, sure. And I think Scorpio isn't necessarily like Aquarius. The Aquarius energy is different for the sake of being different. But Scorpio is, it's less about being different and more about transforming through, it's the shapeshifter. It's like, I'm around you, I'm a certain way. I'm around someone else, I'm a different way. I'm reflecting, I'm shifting.
Like a chameleon.
I'm a chameleon. That's what it is. That's what the Scorpio energy is. It's being a chameleon.
So it sounds like this transit is encouraging us to transform on an interior level, but to also experience a transformation in this other more external kind of a way, right?
Perhaps. I think of it as like, just to put it in kind of a real practical sense.
Yeah.
Like, be social.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be surprised if you get into some deep conversations. Like, you go out, you're going to have a fun time, and then all of a sudden you're sharing something about yourself that you didn't intend to.
Okay.
But maybe you needed to.
Right.
Even if it doesn't go the way that you'd hoped it went. Like, you come home from the event, the social event, and you're like, did I just tell that person that I just met all these personal details about myself? Did I really do that? Maybe I had too many martinis, or, you know, I don't know why I just started pouring my whole soul into this other person. They probably think I'm strange, weird, or whatever, but maybe that was the experience that you needed to have.
Hmm. Is it the martinis or is it the astrology?
Well, maybe you had the martinis because of the astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to escape those emotions, those deep, penetrating emotions of the Scorpio moon. So you're hiding from them behind the alcohol.
So there might be a sense of feeling kind of exposed in some way.
Yes.
That's uncomfortable.
Yes, that's it.
Vulnerability.
Where you're like exposed at the party. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, everyone can really see me now. This is, no, I'm too exposed.
It's that nightmare where you're in front of a group of people naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the scorpion in the middle of the crowded room at mm-hmm. the party. You don't want to be the scorpion in the middle of the crowded room at the party.
Yeah.
That's, you're going to get stepped on. And so that's some of this Friday night energy, Friday afternoon energy. Yay, Friday, February 2nd. Okay, so there's also Mercury again as it continues transiting through Capricorn. It starts to separate away from Mars, because the reason why they were so close together is because Mercury was retrograde and slowed down and Mars was catching up and moved past it. And then Mercury had to move past Mars again. So now Mercury's cruising along, and as it moves away from Mars at the beginning of the week, it moves into a sextile, a positive aspect with Neptune in Pisces. And that happens from Wednesday to Saturday, but that's an exact sextile on Friday. So that's happening concurrently with the moon and the sun squaring off with each other, the half moon. So this is about bringing dreams to reality, the unconscious to the conscious, compassion with authority. How can you be more compassionate in the way that you speak to yourself as an authority? How can you be more compassionate and empathetic to others that you're speaking to as the authority? How can you be empathetic to the authority who's speaking to you? These are some of the questions to ask yourself during this transit, which is happening from Wednesday to Saturday.
It's interesting to consider needing to have empathy or compassion for the authority.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like an important part. I don't think many of us have compassion, like, for the government, for example.
No, or for
even
a politician.
A politician, or even sometimes our parents, like, mm-hmm. recognizing how
That's
difficult it is to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that just feels like something I wanted to highlight.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be really hard to be in charge.
Yes. Yes. And if you can take that softer tone with your boss, let's say, your parent, and be empathetic towards them, it might help them then become softer with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, this person gets me. Like, the reason why I'm just so, you know, controlling is because you don't listen, you know? And it's like when you start listening and like, okay, I hear you. It's okay. I get it. Like, oh, okay, I can calm down.
I think those in positions of authority often have to manage a variety of emotions.
Yes.
From others.
Yes.
Because you'll never make everybody happy.
Mm-mm.
And so there has to be like a level of tolerance of discomfort for you to step into that position of leadership mm-hmm. and authority.
Yes, exactly.
So I imagine it would feel pretty good to have some empathy.
To someone say, hey,
I hear
what you're saying. I'm sorry, you know, like these people or I didn't do the job that you wanted me to do. I'm going to do better, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just caring about the perspective of the authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do when you feel like they're controlling you and holding you under their thumb.
Right.
But when you do, you might get further with them than by trying to fight them in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely had some challenges with authority figures in my corporate life. But I have much more compassion for them, I would say, now that I'm out of those dynamics.
What shifted for you?
Well, I was a good employee. I was really consistent. I was reliable. But because I knew it wasn't really my passion with my whole heart, mm-hmm. I wasn't using my own initiative to climb the mountain. I was sort of needing to be constantly
pushed and prodded
and go this way and go that way. And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
For them. And I was even invited into opportunities like to be promoted, and I actually said no. Which, if you're in a corporate environment and you say no to a promotion, people are like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think I was so confusing to them on some level.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's around the time I was figuring out, you know, that I wanted to study psychology, but I didn't have a plan in place yet. But I really, like, my gut was like, no, I can't go any further up this mountain. I can't do it. Mm. My heart is saying no. And they really wanted me to go up because on a social level, I think I was nice to have around. And I had been there a long time. And so I had a certain amount of authority in my own set, you know, my own right, just for the number of years I had been with this particular company. So I really feel for them. You know, they put a lot of time and energy.
Yes.
Into me.
They invested in you.
They invested in me.
Yes.
They really invested in me.
And that's something.
And I didn't quite do the same.
Right. It's like you did your job. You got everything done that you needed to.
Yes.
But you weren't pushing yourself
and
up
I did
the mountain.
And I did do a great job in the realm of which I was capable
can
of.
Can we check with them on that?
You want to dial someone in? So I don't know.
But your heart wasn't in it. You didn't enjoy it. That Venus energy.
Yeah. So what happened is I ended up getting laid off while I was in my program at Pacifica. And I completely understood why. And it wasn't a surprise to me. And after the fact, I had a long conversation, maybe a couple days after it happened, with my manager. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for her to, you know, give the green light to lay me off. Mm. And it was one of those situations where really, they were just ready for me to go because I was kind of clogging up the works, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I refused to climb the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to get out of the way.
Yeah. Someone else is going to take your spot then. We got to keep it moving.
So, but they didn't want to fire me because it wasn't like performance related.
Yeah.
So they sort of constructed it as a layoff so that I could still get unemployment.
Right.
But it was a layoff of one person.
Totally.
They were like, yeah, we're doing a little bit of a reorganization. Well, there's only one person involved.
It makes total sense. It makes me think of like climbing up that side of Half Dome on those cables. Like if somebody just stops in the middle and says, yeah, I'm not going any further. And you're like, well, you have to because
there's people behind you trying to get up.
Exactly. Like we're not just going to all stand on the side of this rock for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
You need to get to the top so that you can turn around and come back down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just going to stand there, then I'm going to have to lay you off the side of the rock and so that I can get to the top.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I understood it then and I completely understand it now.
So you have empathy for them.
I think I had some empathy at the time.
Yeah.
But I have much more now.
So that's what you're saying. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That
makes
I think.
Sense.
Yeah. I have some
now
perspective.
Now that you have perspective. Exactly.
Now that I have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not only was I stopped on the mountain saying, I'm not going up.
Mm-hmm.
I was not saying I'm going down
either. Yeah. Exactly.
I was like,
no, I'm just going to stay here.
I'm going to stay here.
Exactly.
And I think they were really patient with me.
They were.
For a while.
Yes.
And this was also during COVID. So there was a lot of sort of weirdness anyway, and sort of, you know, fear and anxiety for people. And there was already a lot of other change that was going on. And so I think it helped sort of delay the layoff. You know, they needed the familiarity and they needed people to just sort of keep going status quo as much as possible.
Yeah, you made a great point. You weren't going up, you weren't going down. And if you're on the side of that rock and you're not moving, you got to go up or down. You can't just stay there. And so
I guess that was my experiment. I thought that I could. Yeah. I thought that pausing was going to help get me some clarity.
Well,
and ultimately, maybe it did because it bought me more time while I was transitioning.
I think you made the right choice for yourself and they made the right choice for themselves as well.
But the stagnation was really painful for me and it was really difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
One of my coworkers said when they told the group that I had been laid off, that my manager was like almost in tears telling the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And I really felt that. Mm. I felt like the love. But
I think they wanted you to change your mind and
they did.
You know, like, well, she'll come around. Let's give her a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually she's going to want to move up.
Yeah.
But then it just became clear that you weren't. And so something had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's just too much tension in that stagnation. Just like if you're standing on the side of the mountain, holding on to the metal cable and you're not moving,
mm-hmm.
there's tension there. You're going to get tired.
Yeah.
And everyone else around you is going to get tired holding in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep moving up or down.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I really feel this. I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The final transit for the week. We close out the week with Mercury. Lo and behold, Mercury yet again. As Mercury finishes its climb through Capricorn and begins its transit through Aquarius, where it will be from February 4th to the 22nd. So this is maybe kind of a fun transit.
Okay, a little fun coming in.
I don't really think of Aquarius as fun, but... but...
Compared to Capricorn?
Aquarius, well, I mean, they're both ruled by Saturn.
Yeah.
But Aquarius is also ruled by Uranus.
Mm-hmm. So what's fun about it?
Well, I think it's just fun because Aquarius, Uranus, that's that inventive energy. It's the sign of innovation. And so you have the planet of the mind, Mercury, transiting through the sign of innovation. So I think it could be a good time for coming up with ideas or articulating your ideas. You know, it's a good time to have conversations and throw out your really wacky, harebrained, outside-the-box ideas that maybe people like them, maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. But it's about connecting with the group.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating, sharing ideas, having conversations in the community, in the group construct, with your team, with your organization. Start sharing ideas and see where the conversation takes you.
So it's kind of lightening the energy in a sense. Well, and it is. It's moving from earth to air.
Exactly. Yes.
So there will be more movement, I'm thinking of the word inspiration.
Yes. And as it does, and we'll talk about this more next week, as Mercury moves into Aquarius, it's going to form a conjunction with Pluto, which is at the beginning of Aquarius as well. So there's the beginning of this transit through Aquarius, there's some sort of transformation occurring of your mind. Like this is, and so maybe fun isn't necessarily the right word, but exciting is maybe the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're getting new insight. Your mind is transforming. You're like, oh, that's so wild that you bring that up. Like, I never thought of that before. That's a new idea, but it makes total sense. Or you're out of your mind, but I kind of like it. You know, it could be any of those sorts of things, but your mind is going through a transformation and there's a deepening that's occurring within your mind because of all these new ideas that are flying around.
This reminds me of like most of my work with psychedelics.
Mm.
I feel like psychedelic work is very mercurial. At least it has been for me.
Really? I see that as more Neptunian.
Well, mercurial in the sense that, like, the first series of experiences I had with plant medicine, I was shown, like, it was a mental process for me, and I was shown how many things I'm actually interested in that are happening on the planet. Because a wound for me in the past has been boredom, or sort of this.
Yeah.
It's kind of that stagnation, though, of like being on the mountain. And so getting into the plant medicine world, like, I just remember sort of having this internal dialogue the whole time, like, that is so interesting. And it was, I got to experience the opposite of boredom. Mm. And it sounds like this sort of Uranus, Aquarius.
Yes.
I mean, it was just so, I got to experience what it was like to be really fascinated by something.
It's stimulating your mind. Mercury in Aquarius is stimulating your mind. And it's deepening your mind with the conjunction with Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a stimulation and a deepening of the mind all at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some kind of wake-up call happening here at the end of the week on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, into next week as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully.
So what do you find interesting? What is stimulating?
What is stimulating
and,
you?
And lean into
what
that.
What are you stimulated by? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? What are your ideas? Who are you sharing them with? Where is your mind going? Is it going mm-hmm. into new directions? Or it's like, I never thought about that before. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the key word for Mercury in Aquarius is interesting.
Well, I think too, when you think about stimulation, you know, we're always looking for stimulation. Isn't that why everyone drinks coffee?
Hmm.
Every morning and sometimes throughout the day.
It's a stimulant.
It's a stimulant.
Yeah.
So we're looking for that like activation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To awaken your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get my brain going. I need my coffee fix.
Yeah. And we've sort of accepted like that that's maybe the prime form of stimulation mm-hmm. for people, but I think it can come from other sources.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to consider, I guess, what stimulation means and how to get it.
So one interesting thing to reflect upon with this, the last time Mercury transited through Aquarius was February 11th to March 2nd, 2023. And the time before that was, it was like a two-parter because Mercury was retrograde. It was there from January 1st to the 25th. 2022, and then it was there February 14th to March 9th, 2022. But what makes this transit through Aquarius different is this is the first time that Mercury is conjunct with Pluto in Aquarius. First time since 1798.
Hmm. Wow.
And this is going to be a reoccurring transit that we're going to experience for the next 20 years. So this is that first spark of stimulation, and then it's going to continue for the next 20 years. So what's going to happen to our minds between now and 2043, 2044?
Hmm.
It's going to be in a different place.
Yeah.
We're going to be seeing things differently than we're seeing them now.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that is like incomprehensible, I feel like, to where we are right now. It's going to be like if we were alive, say, before the television, and then we woke up the next day and there's the iPhone. Huh? That's the kind of stimulation that our mind, that's what I think.
Yeah.
That's the type of stimulation that's going to be happening to our minds and transformation that's going to be happening to our minds. When I think of all of us and when I look at an astrological code and I see those planets transiting through someone's astrological code, what I see is the update of the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And this transit between Mercury and Pluto in Aquarius is updating the mind and deepening the mind in a way that is beyond our comprehension right now.
Well, and it's interesting to consider that so many psychedelics are being legalized during this period.
Ah.
Just to bring it back to that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to share that experience I had, but I didn't maybe realize how it'd be connected to this. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if that consciousness of the psychedelic, that energy, is connected to this.
Yes, it might be, because it's what it's like, you know, the magic mushrooms, like Alice in Wonderland, you know, it's like,
yeah,
needing to take the mushrooms to like awaken to this different reality.
Well, what psychedelics are really doing are creating new neural pathways.
Exactly.
In the brain.
Yes.
So all of the information
is already there.
It's just like
it's not creating, accessed.
It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the desert and you want to create a civilization in a completely rural place, and you have to pave roads and like connect different parts of mm-hmm. a village or a city or a town.
Mm.
That's almost what it's like in the brain.
And like that's what Aquarius energy is. It's like when you think of the water bearer, brought water from the stream to the village, mm-hmm. created the irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
The neural pathway is the water that's over here that is now coming over here to the village.
Right. It's just connecting what's already there.
Yes.
So I think those experiences that I had helped me recognize how interested I was in psychology.
Mm.
Because I was sort of going along in my life, like nothing's really interesting to me. You know, I didn't even have the language for it at that time.
So it slapped your brain into a different direction. It spun your brain around in your head and you're like, psychology, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come to me in a plant medicine experience,
right.
But I think it just it got me in that frequency of like, no, there are things that you are excited about here and that are interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
So like change the narrative, flip the script.
Yes. And that's what Uranus is about. And Aquarius is about flipping the script. It's
mm-hmm.
about doing what's different.
Yeah. And originally, so some of the insights I did have in those experiences were connected to how to sort of heal what I consider to be like the corporate wound, which I've talked a little bit about, you know, during this episode. But that was originally before I decided to study psychology,
right,
and go down this path of being a therapist, is I wanted to do like corporate wellness, because I think there's just so much suffering in that environment. But ultimately, I learned that I wouldn't be able to go as deep as I wanted to with people in that space because of the confines of the corporation.
Well, they're not ready for that yet. And maybe they will be in 20 years, just like with astrology.
You know,
astrology in corporate America, like, huh? I mean, I'd love to be that. Like when we first met, that's what you were doing. You were into that. You were going to do the corporate wellness. And I'm like, I want to be an astrologer advising corporations.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not quite there yet. But this Aquarius energy is going to help usher in different thought, rebellious thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you being rebellious in your thinking, in your speaking, in the way that you are communicating and sharing ideas? Are you trying to solve the same problems the same way that is not solving the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Time to think differently. That's what this Aquarius energy is ushering in.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury moving in here with Pluto is awakening the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Should we move to questions?
Yeah, let's move to questions.
Okay, cool.
So our first question, we got the same question from Jennifer and Amelia, and they both asked, how does having multiple planets in your birth chart being retrograde affect your daily life, and or when the planet goes through a retrograde?
So this is a question that we get a lot, but always happy to answer it because it's a good question. And the way that I think about it is retrograde planets and direct planets. Think of a tree. The direct planets are the branches of the tree. It's what you can see. The retrograde planets are the roots. It's what you can't see. So if you have planets that are retrograde, they are qualities about who you are, your personality, your energetic frequencies, that is something that you experience more internally than how people experience you externally. Now, in terms of when a planet goes through retrograde, what we've heard from some of our listeners is like when Mercury's retrograde, if you were born with Mercury retrograde, people that were born with Mercury retrograde seem to not be as affected by Mercury being retrograde because that's what they're familiar to in their chart. Mm-hmm. So it could be the same for any planet that's retrograde. If you were born with Uranus retrograde, when Uranus is retrograde, maybe that feels more normal to you than when it's direct, because when you were born, it was retrograde. So fill in the blank, whatever planet, when whatever planet in my chart was retrograde, that's what feels normal to me. So when there's a planet out there that is retrograde, that is reflecting that retrograde planet in my chart, it feels like home. Mm-hmm. Feels normal.
Exactly.
Cool. Thanks, Jennifer and Amelia.
Great recap.
Thank you.
Our next question, Cody asks, how to avoid dying in a too obvious way in the next 5 years as Pluto squares my natal Mars?
Well, I would say, Cody, thank you for the question. There is no avoiding the death. Doesn't mean a literal death, but there's some sort of transformation that is occurring to the way that you act. Now, if you were born with Mars in a position that's going to be squared by Pluto, that means that you were born with either Mars in Taurus or Mars in Scorpio. If you were born with Mars in Taurus and Pluto's squaring your Mars in Taurus, then it means that you need to learn how to share. You're going through a transformation in terms of your values, your self-worth, your material well-being, and how you relate to the community. So you have to learn how to share with the community while at the same time taking care of your own needs. But you've got to find that balance. If you were born with Mars in Scorpio, then you need to learn how to become more social. It's about not hiding all of your moves or the way that you act or move through life. You've got to get out there, be a part of the group, the community, the social network. So the more that you're tying into those frequencies, whether it's Mars in Taurus or Scorpio in Taurus and needing to either share with the community or connect to the community more, that is the death experience, that you're going to, the part of you that's going to die if you're a Mars in Taurus is that possessiveness of needing to, I'm only going to make moves that are going to take care of my needs. Whereas if you're Mars in Scorpio, it's like, well, I'm only going to make moves. As I make moves, they're going to be silent. They're going to be hidden. You need to transform that energy. That energy needs to die in some way, shape, or form and reassimilate to the new frequency of sharing and being social and connecting.
Mm-hmm. So I think what helps with a death process is acknowledging the parts that are being birthed, as you've alluded to, and that acknowledging that there might also be a period where something has died and something has not yet been reborn. So there can be a period, like, for example, after a loss, there's a void, there's grief. There's always grief when there's part of a death process, even if you know
there's grief in a birth process, like postpartum depression.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the birth process itself.
Yeah.
So I think what helps support maybe this transformation that you're going through, Cody, is to acknowledge the grief process and learn how to be able to sit with the void before the new thing is born. And realistically, I do think that transformation is sort of happening simultaneously, the death and the birth, but sometimes it might not always feel that way. And so learning to, as Scott likes to say, be comfortable with the discomfort.
Yes.
I think will be key for you in these next 5 years.
Yes.
And just knowing that that part, feeling like that part of you is dying is okay. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way.
The whole process is okay.
The whole process is okay.
The whole process is okay. Accept the process that you're in. The more that you're clinging to the way that things have always been, which is going to be a challenge for anyone that's born with Mars in Taurus or Scorpio, which is fixed, don't want things to change. the more that you're clinging to that, the more challenging it will be. The more mm-hmm. that you accept the process and grieve through the loss, like what you're saying, as well as acknowledging the transformation and the rebirth, the more smoothly the process will be.
Mm-hmm. And both of these possibilities that you've described, Scott, whether Mars is in Taurus or is in Scorpio, what I heard from that is that either way, that Cody can really benefit from finding others that they can lean on during this time. So friends, lovers, partners, finding relationships where you can really share what's going on for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, an important part of the grief process is often being witnessed in that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what the community's for.
That's what the community's Aquarius for.
It's like, hey, we're with you. It's okay. You know?
Yeah. We're all transforming together.
Yep.
So finding, over these next 5 years, if you don't have those individuals in your life right now, seeking them out, mm-hmm. seeking out some sort of support system, whether it's a therapist, whether it's an astrologer, whether it's your partner, whether it's taking, your level of communication and intimacy, maybe to a deeper level mm-hmm. so that you can get the support that you need during this time. Because usually you'll find when you open up to someone else that they're going through something very similar.
Yes. And
that's what I found.
Totally. And you're going to go through this process because it's like the universe is guiding you towards your community. That's what this Pluto and Aquarius energy is about. One theme is mm-hmm. everyone finding their community. And so the people that were born with the Taurus energy or the Scorpio energy, which Taurus wants to hold on to everything for themselves, Scorpio wants to hide in the corner by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's pulling you out of those frequencies. And you're going to find other people, like you were saying, that have maybe gone through or going through the same experiences. And that's what's going to make you feel more comfortable and safe with other people. And mm-hmm. now you've found your community.
Yes. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Cody is Mars in Scorpio because of the way this is worded. How to avoid dying, but not in a too obvious way.
Mm.
Sounds very Scorpio.
Yes.
To me.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So I wonder too, if part of what's being transformed, if there is a trauma attached with this transformation, and maybe there's a support group that could be helpful that would get you into a sense of community.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, into a sense of community with others that you know are going through something similar. So it feels a little safer than maybe trying to bring this to like the dinner table with family or friends who, maybe that's a stepping stone if that appeals to you, Cody.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And thank you, Cody, Jennifer, Amelia, for your questions. If you'd like to ask us a question, you can do that on Spotify right there. Just put it in the box on Spotify and we will answer it on the podcast. And thank you, everyone who's listening and supporting us on our journey with the weekly transit. Wishing you all the best through the week, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you're interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can contact her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Music written by Ben Lineback from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.